CMU graduate student Kyle Broadway motors out onto Elk Lake in Antrim County and arrives at one of his monitoring locations to listen for fish movements underwater, fish that carry a special transmitter.
So each ping is corresponding to an individual fish. They're all going to sound exactly the same, each fish, as far as the sound of that ping coming in. Mm-hmm. And each tag transmits every 90 seconds.
Tracking radio tag fish helps Broadway study the behavior and movement of this population of lake trout. Jory Jonas, a state fisheries biologist, says they discovered these fish while doing other work.
I was out on a survey that I wasn't even supposed to be on with an inland lake crew, and they set some trap nets. And this isn't a way that we usually collect lake trout, so it was pretty atypical. But it was at a time when the water was cold, and they set this large trap net, and they caught two lake trout. And I happened to be on board when they caught them and started asking questions. You know, like they looked like something different, and I wanted to know why they were there and who they were.
Longer and more streamlined, more torpedo-shaped, this fish is an important discovery to biologists like Jonas. That's because the wild lake trout populations of Lake Michigan were wiped out over 60 years ago. Jonas says the lake trout populations were killed by sea lamprey invading from the Atlantic Ocean and destroyed by overfishing. In fact, lake trout populations were just about wiped out of the Great Lakes altogether by the 1950s and 60s. Just a few fish or remnant populations were left in the more remote corners of the lakes.
Lake Superior had managed to maintain some of its remnant forms, but Lake Michigan does not have any remnant forms. And at this time, every fish that you collect, except for a few, are from stocking, primarily from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
The fish used to stock Lake Michigan are raised in hatcheries from brood stock or eggs gathered in places far away as Lake Superior and even the Finger Lakes of New York. These different strains of lake trout often look different from each other and may behave differently too.
We had believed that there were no longer remnant forms in the Lake Michigan Basin. And the neat thing here is that we found one in an inland lake that's not the stone's throw away from Lake Michigan proper or Grand Traverse Bay.
Research indicates that the fish discovered in Elk Lake want the water cold, considerably colder than other trout currently being stocked in Lake Michigan.
The Elk Lake fish tended to occupy much lower temperatures than what Great Lakes or Finger Lakes origin lake trout were shown to occupy.
Researchers hope that if the Elk Lake strain can be raised and reintroduced into Lake Michigan, it will occupy colder, deeper water than other predator fish like salmon and other lake trout. The fish are also more likely to avoid commercial fishing nets at these lower depths. That could add greater habitat diversity and greater genetic diversity to Lake Michigan's struggling lake trout population.
What we are concerned about is building a stock that will naturally reproduce. And if we can get self-sustaining stocks built up in Lake Michigan, we'd call that a success. Also, trying to bring in some of the genetic diversity that had been lost in the past would be extremely valuable and create a more resilient population to handle future changes that might be down the line.
Over the last few years, scientists have been finding more and more wild fish as opposed to hatchery-raised fish in Lake Michigan. That suggests the lake is changing in ways that are helping this native predator reproduce. So maybe this is a good time to reintroduce one of Lake Michigan's remnant strains of lake trout, hidden for so many years in the waters of Elk Lake.